From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Daily News. I'm Philip Grant. Bernadette Hogan and Bruce Golding report for the New York Post that Governor Andrew Cuomo, or a staff member, on April 21st, hung up on a reporter on a conference call asking him about the sexual assault and harassment investigations into his behavior. New York Law Journal reporter Ryan Taranelli asked, and I quote, "If the Attorney General's report concludes that under state law you did sexually harass employees in violation of state law, will you resign? Yes or no," end quote. Cuomo replied, and I quote, "Let's see what the review says, and then we'll take it from there," end quote. Taranelli then asked Cuomo to, and I quote, "Please clarify exactly what that means," end quote. But Cuomo only repeated the exact same words. Taranelli then said, and I quote, "It just does," end quote. And then his line went dead. Taranelli wrote on Twitter, and I quote, "Yep, I got cut off while trying to follow up on this point," end quote. Cuomo's spokesperson Richard Azzopardi admitted that Taranelli was intentionally cut off mid-question, but falsely claimed it was because reporters are only allowed to follow up under terms of an agreement reached several months ago with the Albany Legislative Correspondents Association. New York Now reporter Dan Clark, who was president of the LCA at the time, told the Post, saying there is no agreement between Cuomo and reporters, and I quote, "That did not happen," end quote. The Assembly investigation into the sexual assault and harassment allegations against Cuomo has contacted 70 potential witnesses, according to the Times Union. While Cuomo recently has taken a few questions from hand-picked reporters on conference calls, almost daily he is now barring reporters from his events around the state to make various announcements. Most events are held in very large places with many officials and supporters, but Cuomo's staff claims that COVID-19 restrictions are keeping the reporters away. Cuomo, of course, sets the COVID-19 restrictions in New York. You can read more about this story in the New York Post. Noah Zweifel is reporting for the Altamont Enterprise. Burn Town Clerk Anita Clayton has fired her deputy, Jean Guarino. Guarino believes it is because she was endorsed by town Democrats to run for clerk in November. Clayton, a Democrat, has been town clerk since 2013. Her term will end on December 31st, and she previously said she would not seek re-election. However, Clayton's name now appears in court papers related to a lawsuit over the working family's party line, indicating she is a candidate for public office in Bern. Clayton made the headlines in February when she wrote a letter to the Enterprise editor blasting the Bern Democratic Committee for what she called a demeaning candidate interview. This week, it was Guarino's turn to write to the paper's editor. According to Guarino, she enjoyed working in the town clerk's office after Clayton persuaded her to take the job last year. There was an understanding that she was training to be Clayton's replacement. Guarino said things were fine until Clayton accused her of leaking town information in early 2021, at which point Guarino was stripped of her keys and login information. Clayton suspected Guarino had made public a report concerning the death of town highway worker Pete Becker after a story about the report appeared in the Enterprise. Guarino denied leaking information from or about the report. Once her keys and login information were taken, things went from bad to worse. Prior to the accusation, Guarino had the same access and responsibilities as Clayton, with the exception of human resources materials. After the accusation, however, and I quote, "everything was stripped little by little," end quote. After the accusation, however, she said, and I quote, "everything was stripped little by little," end quote. Guarino was fired and handed a notice of termination minus any justification. Guarino is one in a long line of people removed from their position without explanation and without a performance-related reason in Bern. After questions, as well as a copy of Guarino's letter, were sent to the Enterprise to Clayton, she promised to respond to the allegations but failed to produce anything before press time. And you can read more about this story in the Altamont Enterprise. Andrea Mako is reporting for Porcupine Soup. The 2021 Gray Fox Bluegrass Festival has been canceled. Producer Mary Tyler Dobe and Gray Fox staff made the announcement last week saying, and I quote, "There are too many unanswered questions, restrictions on gatherings, and potential health risks to be able to move forward at this time," end quote. Dub said the festival has been postponed until July 14th through 17th, 2022. She said, and I quote, "We feel this is best for our fans, artists, volunteers, and residents of surrounding communities," end quote. The annual festival held on the Walsh Farm in Oak Hill brings thousands of people to Durham for 4 days every July. Gray Fox presents a mix of Grammy, International Bluegrass Music Awards, Country Music Association, and American Music Award winners and nominees, the best of bluegrass and acoustic music. More than 150 artists typically perform on multiple stages. The festival was started in 1984 in Ancrumdale, Columbia County, and moved to Oak Hill in 2008. Last year, Gray Fox staff and artists created a virtual Spirit of Gray Fox 2020. And you can read the full story at porcupinesoup.com. State Department of Environmental Conservation Commissioner Basil Sagos on April 21st announced a proposed plan for a permanent water source to address perfluorooctanoic acid, or PFOA, contamination in the village of Hoosick Falls. The DEC proposed remedial action plan incorporates findings from the recently completed municipal water supply study, and it recommends the use of new groundwater source with a granular activated carbon filter. DEC has compelled the parties responsible for the pollution, Saint-Gobain and Honeywell International Corporation, to undertake a comprehensive study to evaluate possible options for a clean and reliable drinking water source for the Hoosick Falls Water District. The action plan includes developing two new groundwater supply wells, converting existing test wells to production wells, retaining one existing village well, constructing a water transmission line from the new wells to the water treatment plant, continued operation of the public water supply treatment plant, and retaining the existing GAC treatment system. The GAC treatment system removes the PFOA and PFAS from the drinking water supply. The DEC will be accepting public comments on the proposed remedial action plan through June 4th. DEC is holding a virtual public meeting and presentation on the action plan on May 13th. Read more about this story at dec.ny.gov. And that wraps up the WGXC Daily News. For local weather reports, public meetings, community information, or COVID-19 updates, visit our website at WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.